There's a great passage in Matthew chapter 8 that I want us to focus on tonight as our introductory lesson. And it is our Matthew chapter 18. And it's a phrase that we've heard since we were young, I know. But I want us to explore what the word actually means and what the phrase actually means. Beginning in verse 1 of that section, Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you're converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." This expression that Jesus gives, He is telling us what it means to have a childlike faith and what it means to have a childlike faith in God. And so He uses the example of little children. Jesus would often use the most common, simple type of illustrations to help people understand what He was talking about. One of the shortest Psalms in the Old Testament tells us what it is to have a childlike faith, to have and behave like little children in the sense of their spiritual condition. And so when we look at this psalm, I want us to think about what it means unless you're converted and come as little children, and what that means by entering the kingdom of heaven. Why does one need to have this type of character, disposition, these qualities to enter the kingdom of heaven? That psalm is Psalm 131. And I encourage you to open your Bibles there as we look at Psalms 131. And when you get there, you'll realize that there is only three verses, and they're not very long. But those verses are packed. And as we read those verses, think about becoming like little children. Let's read the whole psalm and then go back and look at each of those verses separately. This is called one of the Song of Ascents. The Song of Ascents were those psalms, those songs that were sung by God's people as they would ascend to Jerusalem during the days of the feast. And so there are several of them here in the Psalms. This is one of them, one of those Song of Ascents. "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." So also think about what the children of Israel, the Jewish people, would be thinking as they would be singing this, going to Jerusalem to worship. The first thing we notice from this, that becoming, being converted and becoming like a little child, means that one must be humble. One must be humble. He says, and this is one of David's Psalms, it says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, it's not proud, it's not high-minded, nor my eyes lofty." There's no arrogance, there's no conceit there. For one to enter the kingdom of heaven, one must empty yourself of all pride, because it's not about you. It's not about you. So you have to be humble. You have to get rid of pride and arrogance. One cannot enter the kingdom of heaven with pride and arrogance. They must be humble. A few pages over in your Bible, you find Proverbs chapter 30. And the wise man Solomon tells us this in verses 12 and 13. The wise man says in Proverbs 30, verses 12 and 13, "There is a generation that is pure in its own eyes, yet it is not washed from its filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. It says, here are some people that think so highly of themselves. Now, why can a person not enter the kingdom with pride and arrogance? Because someone with pride and arrogance, they don't think they need the kingdom. This was the Pharisees' problem. Pride and arrogance. They were self-righteous. They didn't think they needed the Messiah. They were good enough as they were. So for someone to enter the kingdom of heaven, they must empty themselves of that pride, arrogance, conceit. All of that has to be removed. Otherwise, they can't fit through the gates, the door. Back in Psalms 18, the psalmist elaborates more about pride and arrogance. In Psalms 18, verse 27, in talking about what the Lord will or will not do, in Psalms 18, verse 27, the psalmist says, "For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks." Arrogance, conceit has to be removed because those things lead to self-righteousness. Again, it's that thinking that I'm good enough, I don't need a Savior. Jesus repeatedly, when he came into the conflicts with the Pharisees, pointed out their problem of self-righteousness. And that was something they would have to get rid of, that pride and arrogance, before they could ever enter the kingdom. So that leads to self-righteousness, pride and arrogance. So instead of trusting in God, people would trust in themselves, just like the Pharisees would. They trusted in themselves. Little children don't trust in themselves. As we'll see in the next verse, they have been relying on their mother. So one must, it's absolutely essential to trust in God to enter the kingdom of heaven. This was the person's problem in Luke 18, wasn't it? Luke 18, we have someone that trusted in themselves. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, Jesus tells a parable, teaches a tremendous lesson. He says in verse 9, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'" If we're to enter the kingdom, we're not to seek elevated places in our lives. We're not to go around trying to satisfy our self-esteem to make ourselves feel better. As he says in our psalm, "Neither do I concern myself with great matters nor with things too profound for me." We're not to chase stardom, in other words. We're not to go after high-minded things. Paul warned about this in Romans chapter 12. He said this can be a real problem. In Romans chapter 12, verse 16, Paul wrote to those Christians, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Again, that goes back to the pride and arrogance. We can be setting our mind on being the star. Sometimes it can happen in a church when somebody will only do things that get noticed. If they're not in front of everybody, and if everybody doesn't know all the wonderful things they're doing, they won't do them. Well, that's the kind of thing Jesus is condemning. He says, you've got to become like little children. You can't be chasing these places of high esteem or glory or honor. You've got to be humble. One must be humble to enter the kingdom. So the one who trusts in God does what? Doesn't trust in himself, but sets his eyes on things above. In Colossians 3, Paul would tell the church there in Colossae to be careful about worldliness. He says in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We can't be overly concerned with things of this world, whether it's acquiring wealth or acquiring positions or acquiring power or influence. Those things can keep us out of the kingdom. That's why he says you've got to become like little children. Humility is essential. We can't be concerned with worldly glory. We can't be boastful about the things we've done in the past. Look at all the wonderful things I've done in the past. See, I don't have to do anything else. Not true. So in our psalm, David wants the people, as they go to Jerusalem, and of course the lesson is for us today as well, to understand that they're not going to Jerusalem to glorify themselves, they're going to Jerusalem to glorify God. It's not about them. So often today, worship is all about the person. The people only go to churches, certain churches, for them. That they have to have this and they have to have that and they have to be entertained and they have to have all these things. It is not about them. We can't be concerned about worldly things and worldly glory and positions of honor. We're to think of ourselves as servants. So what does it mean? First of all, we must be humble. We must get rid of pride and arrogance. The second thing David mentions in verse 2 now is we must be at peace. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Some versions have behaved. The New King James Version has calmed. The word actually means, in Hebrew, being level. Like if you were, I think the prophet Isaiah uses it in this expression, if you were to level a field, you know, it would have kind of hills and valleys. If you were going to farm it, you would have to level it. Well, that's the word translated here, calmed. So when you're calmed, you're leveled. He says that is necessary. And that's one of the things it looks like. In other words, there's no internal strife. There's no internal turmoil. And he says this is like a small child. When a small child is with its mother, that's when it's what? The most at peace. Well, that's the way we are to be with the Father. When we're with the Father, then we're to have this peace, this tranquility, no strife or turmoil. So having this childlike spirit. Again, not having the turmoil, not having the strife, but being calmed. Not because of external circumstances, but because we have a relationship with the Father. He is our Heavenly Father. So that's the childlike spirit that we need to have. We have to keep our minds focused on Jehovah, not on the world. Now, the world is a terrible place, but it's a terrible place because of sin. That's not the way Jehovah made it. Sin came into the world. If we look at Isaiah, in Isaiah 26, we're given some thoughts about this. Isaiah chapter 26. Beginning in verse 1, Isaiah says, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah the Lord is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high, the lofty city. He lays it low, he lays it low to the ground, he brings it down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy." What does he say do? Trust in the Lord forever. He said, God will keep you in perfect peace. He doesn't mean that he's going to take away the things of the world that cause distress and turmoil. He doesn't say he's going to do that. He says he's going to keep you in perfect peace if, and there's a condition, see, there's something you must do, keep your mind focused on Jehovah. Tranquility. Back in Psalm 107, the psalmist talks about tranquility. Psalms 107, beginning in verse 28. Psalm 107, verse 28. "Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them to their desired haven." Now those are some wonderful verses. He brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storms. The waves are still. But he does that because he is granting them peace. The Bible says now that Jesus is our peace. Remember what he told his apostles in the upper room? In the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, you're going to have turmoil. In the world, you're going to have strife. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He says, I'm greater than the world. The world is going to be a place of turmoil and distress and strife, and it's going to be that way until the end of the world. Jesus says that's not going to change. It's going to be that way. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome that world. Jesus says, I am your peace. So just like in our verse that talks about the weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me, weaning ourselves from worldly desires and not fretting about worldly things is necessary to being converted and entering into the kingdom. Weaning ourselves from those things that aren't important is what he's telling us. So being humble, being at peace, and then finally being filled with hope. The last verse in our psalm says, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. Don't put your hope in the world. Don't put your hope in what people can do. Don't put your hope in governments. Don't put your hope in anything other than the Lord. He says it's the one who trusts in the Lord that's hopeful. In Psalms 130, just back a few pages, or the psalm right before it, this says, the last two verses, very similar. This is also one of the Song of Ascents. In Psalms 130, verses 7 and 8, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Where were they told to put their hope? In the Lord. Why? Because with him there is mercy. That's why you can be hopeful, because of God's mercy. The Bible says, for Christians, Jesus is our hope. We don't hope, we don't put our hope, again, in governments, we don't put our hope in countries, we don't put our hope in armies, we don't put our hope in economies, we don't put our hope in anything but God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the people that Peter talks to in 1 and 2 Peter are people, Christians, who are undergoing persecution. They are living in troublesome times. They are living in times of distress and turmoil and strife. So he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." That's why Christ is our hope, because the inheritance He's giving us is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It doesn't fade away. Things in the world fade away. Bank accounts fade away. Stock value fades away. Those things go away. So if one puts their hope in land or power or influence or money or anything else, they're going to be disappointed. So no wonder he says there in the third verse, put your hope in God. If you do, he says, you'll never be disappointed. So a childlike faith is one that's humble, gets rid of pride and arrogance, conceit, and puts their hope in God. As a result, they're going to be filled with peace. The world's never going to be a peaceful place. It's not been peaceful a single day since sin entered the world. And it's never going to be peaceful again. But Jesus says, in me, you can have peace. And that's where it is. That's why he says, trust and obey. Put your trust in me and obey, and these promises of an inheritance are yours. Except you be converted and become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. What a marvelous illustration. Being humble, being at peace, being filled with hope. Tonight we have an invitation song chosen. It may be that you would like to respond to that invitation in some way. If you do, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing.